M4, The Contribution of Christian Science to the World. Number 1A.
Here we are at the crucial point where we have to see that we cannot go back really to the old way of investigating a subject, namely in the old, antiquated, substantialistic way of thinking, but that the new way of investigating a subject is to investigate really relationships, to investigate orders, categories, classifications, laws, calculus, structure, matrices. These are the modern way of seeing reality. And these are the ways that Mrs. Eddy presents her teaching in the Christian Science textbook, though it has not been seen that way until recently. It is understandable that if we have been brought up and educated through hundreds and hundreds of years, and if we have been educated in our school to think in a substantialistic way about any subject, that naturally we transferred that way of thinking to the investigation of the Christian Science textbook and of the Bible, whereas both books present much more than that. They really present the interrelationship of facts, the order of these facts, the categories of these facts, and present the whole calculus of reality. Now, order, relationships, classifications, etc., they have nothing to do with the old substance sense. They become, so to say, the new substance of reality, and not the substance essence sense. We get a completely new concept of what substance is, namely these structural concepts of being. And this is the way I want to proceed from now and change over from the mortal consciousness to the investigation of that divine consciousness. That divine consciousness which is built on the divine mind, the science of mind. And naturally we see that because science is that which rules and rules therefore the weaker thought, namely mortal consciousness, it rules even the weaker thought no matter if it is held by the majority of believers. Science is so big that it is the biggest, mind is all, then it is the highest, the biggest, the strongest, and therefore does rule the belief of the world. Therefore, we don't need to think that we need a lot of people to think in the right way so that the majority rules the minority. Now, there is a great transfer from people's thinking, which is mortal consciousness, to the one mind, which is not the thinking of people, but it's the mind of being, God, the mind of God, and that is in the majority. One with God is a majority. So that from now on you will perhaps notice that I will say very little anymore about the mortal consciousness, about how the divine mind affects mortal consciousness, because if we consider now the whole structure of the divine mind, that has within itself the demonstration of that divine mind within its own realm, and we never leave that realm again, and therefore we can see that it is the solution of the whole world problem. So we go to the next big subsection, which I have put down here as capital B, the divine system of reference. The divine system of reference. What do I mean by it? Perhaps if you think back a few years when the first astronauts were leaving the gravitational attraction of the Earth, that they were still people like we are, but suddenly they lived in a universe that was completely different than ours. Namely, they began to live in a universe with a different system of reference. Suddenly, mankind began to realize that as long as we were just thinking of living on this Earth, we were thinking in a definite system of reference which we never doubted, which we never queried really. which we have accepted as absolutely natural and the only thing possible and the only thing conceivable. And then perhaps at that moment, if I think back, people began to realize, oh, if you are not on this earth and you are still what you are living in a completely different world. Suddenly, right and left are no more right and left. You didn't anymore know what is right and left. So it only takes a few hundred miles above the earth and your whole system of reference falls to pieces. There is no more right and left. There is no more above and beneath, as we think usually. There was not even any more gravitation. There was no more the same chemical processes at work, no more the same biological processes at work. Time concept was different, space concept was different. Everything became so different. Things which we have accepted as reality, as normal, suddenly were no more the same thing. It showed, just in a material way, even in a material way, that we can live in different systems of reference. And that we have to be clear in what kind of system of reference we live, and therefore we know that consciousness determines our experience. That's what we have learned now up to now, that mind rules over matter, that the kind of mentality and consciousness we have, the kind of experience we have. But if we change our whole reference of relationship, which we have here, and exchange it for a completely different system of reference, then we exchange our consciousness, and with that exchange of consciousness, we have a completely different experience. So this is a point that the spiritual seers of all times have always seen. But they have not been taken very serious by the scientists, because the scientists have always been thinking just in one system of reference, namely the earthly system of reference, and therefore regarded any other system of reference as a bit outweighish, not quite normal, and so they rejected every metaphysical concept of a new system of reference. Today it's different. Today the thinkers know that we can exchange our system of reference, and the moment we exchange that, we have a new world and different worlds. Let me quickly go through the old system of reference in which we were living and which has been accepted more or less by mankind. I quickly go through that system of reference in bringing out the counterfeits of the seven synonymous terms. The counterfeit of mind, our system of reference was that we were living according to mortal mind, to human opinions, according to our own thinking. The way we were thinking was really determining our experience. And we thought, the way we are thinking is the only way we could think, because we think the way we think, and so we think the way we think. And it has been taken very natural. Without questioning, is it right or is it wrong? We have taken as a system of reference the counterfeit of spirit, namely that we have to do with the material universe, with the universe of dualism, a dualistic thinking, where everything what we were thinking could be distinguished between yes and no, right and wrong, left and right, true and untrue. It's that two-value logic that was determining all our thinking. It is the counterfeit of spirit, the order of spirit, namely chance, that we believe that things happen also by chance, and that we don't know what happens in the next second, and that we are, so to say, like a cork on the waters. We never quite know where we are going. We believe that system of reference was the counterfeit of soul, namely that only that which our sense testimony takes in is real, that we should only believe what our five senses testify, and that anything else is not real. This is the standpoint of the formalists, of the fundamentalists in sciences, that they will not accept anything as real which in the last resort cannot be traced back to sense testimony. It was based on the counterfeit of principle, namely that we have a world of people, not a world of principles, but a world of people, that people matter, that governments of people matter, that organization of people matters, that human theories matters, that we have to adjust ourselves and submit ourselves to human theories and to material theories, theories, laws, physics and chemistry, and so on, and so on, and so on. That there were principles at work to which we have to submit ourselves. It is a universe in which the whole is split up in a lot of parts, in isolated parts, in objects, where the integration has been disintegrated into isolated parts, fragments. It was fragmentary thinking. It is a system of reference which we live in, which is the counterfeit of life. We think in terms of beginning and end, of birth and death, in terms of time. And that time only goes forward, never backward. We were thinking in the system of reference that was the counterfeit of truth, not only of a people universe, of person, a universe of I and you and he and she and we. It's a universe of various sciences, conflicting sciences, contradicting sciences, specialization of sciences which are in conflict with each other. A system of reference based on the counterfeit of the consciousness of truth, namely on individual mortal consciousness, on the subconscious, on the collective conscious, of archetypal beliefs, of the subconscious, the unconscious, the superconscious, all kinds of consciousness, some of them also in conflict with each other. And finally, we were thinking in a system of reference that was the counterfeit of love, namely where we were thinking in disintegrating ways, the whole falling into parts, where integration becomes disintegration, where perfection becomes imperfection, and thereby a nihilistic sense of things, existential vacuum, and all that which is the counterfeit of the perfection and fulfillment of love. This is, in a rough way, the wrong system of reference within which mortals are living. Now we know that this system of reference is not the only possible system of reference. And this is what the Bible began to see, what the biblical seers knew, what they began to sense, therefore trying to bring to the notice of people that there is another system of reference called God. At that time, they couldn't speak in that language as we could do today. They had to speak in the language they understood in the biblical times. And so they were not speaking of a system of reference, but they were speaking of all the various ways that God would act contrary to the mortal concept. Now, here we are faced suddenly with Mrs. Eddy's revelation of Christian Science. And what Mrs. Eddy did was not to improve the biblical sense of things. She was not trying to explain the biblical sense, I don't say the Bible, the biblical sense of that people had, and try to improve on their religious sense and give them a better concept to their old questions. What Mrs. Eddy did was something terrific, and it took me quite a while to realize really the bigness, and it still is in the making, so to say, what are really Mrs. Eddy's great, 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 great contribution to our world. See, in the general belief and general system of reference, there were always people who could see something bigger. They were always trying to improve the old and give a better answer to the old questions. Mrs. Eddy didn't. How can I explain that? Perhaps let me take first an illustration from your own country. In recent years, you had Toffler's Future Shock, and it showed very clearly there that the future shock is a shock, not because it's something happening in the future, but because the future will not be an improvement of the present. It will be something completely different. Or take the greening of America, no matter if your approach to it is positive or not, but still he showed that consciousness 1 and 2 will not be improved. That consciousness 3, as he called it, is something completely new, different. It doesn't improve the old. It doesn't give a better answer to the old, a more clever answer to the old, a more sophisticated answer to the old. Those two books, among many others, convey the feeling something basically completely new is coming. And this is what Mrs. Eddy did. She broke with an old tradition of 2,000 years of philosophical thinking and said, I'm not giving you a better answer than the old philosophers, no matter if they were the Greek philosophers or the classic philosophers or the philosophers of the, at her time, the classical philosophers of the 19th century. She said, I'm not giving a better answer than Hegel or than Kant or than Plato or any of the great thinkers. I break with the line of philosophical thinking, and I give you a completely new philosophy. What is that? You see it already when Mrs. Eddy, for instance, writes, Christian Science is absolute. It is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards it. It isn't advancing towards perfection. That's what the general thought in the world over 2,000 years were trying, to advance and to advance and to advance, and we had a sense of improvement, of development of the old to the more clearer sense, deeper sense. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that. Nor advancing towards it. It is at this point of perfection and must be practiced therefrom. So you can see, instead of advancing to perfection and therefore trying to show in the textbook how to advance towards perfection, she said, no, I give you a new system of reference which is perfect, and then you begin to reason from that new system of reference, and you stay within that new system of reference, and you never go and leave that new system of reference, and then you have all the perfection that this new system of reference contains within itself. Again, I like to go back what we did yesterday when we are considering the question of matter, and where we begin to see that the great change that is coming on in physics is not to investigate clearer and clearer and clearer the substantialistic concept of matter, but to say, couldn't we ask a completely different question? Instead of being more and more sophisticated in the subject, couldn't we ask a completely new basic question? Namely, that question, what is structure? What are relationships? What are the right categories? What are the new principles? Actually, we can see, and I will come back to that, or we'll talk about it very quickly, or very soon, we can see that she did something terrific. If she is not going to show how to improve the state of things, not advancing towards perfection, and advancing towards perfection means asking new questions, asking a lot of questions about something which you don't know. If you drop that and say, asking questions goes out that we do not know, and how can not knowing bring forth knowing? This is impossible. Only like produces like. So instead of asking questions, go out from the absolute facts and don't ask any more questions. Deduce from the absolute. You know, there are very few questions left in my mind. Not that I know everything, but I don't ask any more questions. It seems that this is such an antiquated concept, such an antiquated concept to ask questions, because it says you go out from imperfection and then now try to get perfection. It's hideous. So that going out from perfection and deducing from perfection is no more asking a lot of questions, but it's just rejoicing in the facts that are, and calculating from that principle in the realm that is. And that's beautiful.